And it's that time of the month again for our police chief to join us.
Yes. Good morning, Chief Niskey.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
We're doing fantastic. Thank you so much for coming. We have so much to talk with you about this morning. We do want to start, though, with on Friday, District Attorney Dan May decided to send the investigation for the Devon Bailey shooting to a grand jury. What are your thoughts on that?
We knew that that was one of the options that DA May had. We were prepared for that. It's part of the process. As we've been saying all along, when there's an officer-involved shooting, there's a process that we've established in the 4th Judicial District. And part of that, the end of that process is after the DA's office gets the case, Dan May and his staff review the case and make a decision if they want to decide if the officers were justified or take it to a grand jury. And in this one, they've decided to take it to a grand jury, which is fine. We expect that process to play out. In time, I'm not sure how long that'll take, but yeah, it's part of the process.
Right, right. And speaking of investigations, now CSPD is investigating the deputy-involved shooting.
Yes.
That happened in Monument. And this is the law, isn't it? And how does that process kind of work?
So after that officer-involved shooting with the deputy over the weekend, our detectives, our major crimes detectives, are called out. They respond to the scene. They respond to the sheriff's office to conduct the process of interviewing. Usually the interviews take place 24 to 48 hours after the incident, but they start the process of taking equipment from the deputies, interviewing witnesses, going out to the scene, processing the scene. And they'll also, that's our DFIT team, our deadly force investigation team. And then the sheriff's office also has what's called a liaison, an LDFIT, a liaison team that works with us. And they work with us to help us through processes that maybe we don't fully understand with the sheriff's office. And they do some minor interviews and things like that just to help out. We'll conduct that investigation, the impartial investigation. We look at it. We take as much time as we need to investigate it fully. And then when we're done with the investigation, we'll hand that off to the DA's office. Just like we have in the past, and the DA's office will make a decision on whether to decide if the officer or deputy was justified or if they take it to a grand jury.
All right. Seems pretty straightforward. We just have to wait for the grand jury in the Devon Bailey case.
Yes.
All right.
Sir.
Well, let's move on. We had an incident, I think it was last week, Renee.
It happened in Denver. And this is we're getting into the colder temps, right, Chief? This is so important. It happened in Denver. A woman left twins in her running car. And the car was stolen. They finally located it, but puffing, Chief, like this is a huge, and we're getting into those cold temps, so we need to talk about puffing, don't we?
It is a big problem that we've had in the past. We're getting into the cold winter season. We're also getting into the holidays, mm-hmm. So the shopping season. So the police department, we're trying to get out messages, safety messages to our citizens, and one of those is about puffing. It's really easy for a person in the middle of winter when you have frost on your window to go outside, start the car, leave the keys in the car, go inside, finish up what you need to do for 5 or 10 minutes, and you're really vulnerable to have that vehicle stolen. And we've been seeing that a lot. I think we had over 180 cases of that already this year. Earlier in the year, whenever, you know, January, March, April timeframe. So we'll see it pick up again. And I think people just have the feeling, and I catch myself at times feeling this way, that I'm not going to ever be a victim. That won't happen to me. And you really can't say that. Whenever you leave your car outside running, you're a target of opportunity for somebody that wants to steal a car. And what we're really seeing in the recent months with stolen vehicles is people are just joyriding. They're taking those cars.
Really?
They're taking those cars. They're either joyriding for 3 or 4 days and then they drop them off somewhere, or they're taking those cars, committing other crimes, doing something else with the car, and then dropping it off 3 or 4 days later. So we're just asking people to be cautious. When you go into 7-Eleven in a cold day, whenever it's 10 degrees outside, don't leave your car running in the parking lot.
Right.
It can happen so quickly. People just hop in the driver's seat if the keys are in the car, back up and drive off. And then it takes us a while to find the vehicle. If you do have your car stolen, we ask people to report it to us as quickly as you can. Have as much information about your car as you can, mm-hmm. license plate, color of the vehicle, make and model of the vehicle. We start looking for stolen vehicles right away, mm-hmm. especially in the area that they're taken from. But a lot of times, if you're in your house for 5 or 10 minutes waiting for your car to warm up, you don't know how long it's been gone. You're absolutely right.
I was just going to say, some newer vehicles have some GPS technology that can help you.
That does help us. It really, really does help us. But it's amazing. I think a lot of times the car thieves know which cars to target and which cars not to target.
Well, they don't, especially in the cold, don't they just wait down the street or watch to see, like, because you can see from the, you know, exhaust pipe.
Exhaust.
Like,
yes. Yeah. Yes. And so we're really asking people to pay attention to that. If you're going to leave your car running, stay outside with your car until it warms up, scrape the windows, shovel, do whatever you need to do, but keep an eye on your car while it's warming up.
But if your vehicle is stolen and you were puffing, isn't that also is it a charge or a fine?
It's actually a crime. Okay. It's an unattended vehicle. We try not to re-victimize you by issuing a summons, but we do issue summons at times when we see cars in the driveway. Mm-hmm. Running when they're not supposed to be and they are unattended.
Okay.
So it is a crime. It's a misdemeanor crime in Colorado Springs to do that.
Okay.
All right. We'll continue with Chief Niski in just a couple of moments. 7:42 as KRDO's morning news continues.
This morning we're talking with Colorado Springs Police Chief Vince Niski. And Chief, we were talking in the break, and I know the departments, all departments across the country, including the FBI, have seen an increase in threats posted, like right towards school or whatever on social media. So the FBI, it's becoming a big issue problem, isn't it? And the FBI has now started a campaign, and CSPD is coming up along with that campaign. It's called what? Think Before You Post.
Yes, it is. Think Before You Post. The FBI had a campaign out before. They're just kind of reinvigorating it again. Think Before You Post is trying to get the message out to everybody, but especially high school, middle right. school kids, to not post threats on social media. Even if it's a hoax, if you're doing it as a hoax, hoping that school gets canceled or just as you're thinking it's fun or funny, we take it very seriously. All law enforcement takes it very seriously, and the FBI is taking it very seriously because we can't determine when a threat online or a threat on social media is a hoax or if it's real.
Right.
So we treat all of them like they are actual threats, that they are real. We investigate them vigorously, and we investigate them when we find out that they've happened. And the ending result is, I think sometimes kids think that they're being funny or that they're having a good time with friends, and they end up getting charged.
Right.
They end up getting charged for a crime, either locally or if the FBI gets involved and takes it very seriously, they can charge them with a federal crime.
Wow.
And that really impacts a kid's life throughout their life. And so we're really trying to get the message out to not do that. Number one, you shouldn't make threats anyway. Either in person or on social media. And if you're doing it thinking that you're going to get out of school, you may get out of school for a day, but you also may get a summons from us.
Officer showing up at the door, right?
Exactly, and knocking on the front door.
Might get to visit the jail.
That probably wouldn't happen. Okay. But
now, I know I'm just asking, like, random, and you may not know the number, Chief, but, like, how many threats do you think your officers have to investigate a year, whether they're called in or safe to tell or maybe posted online?
It's a handful. I wouldn't say it's a significant amount, but it's like I said, we take each one very seriously.
Right.
We spend the time to investigate it, to determine who posted the threat. We make contact. If they're underage, we make contact with them and their parents, explain the ramifications of what they've done, and then take action after that.
And also a good conversation for parents to have with kids.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is. It's something that they should be talking about. This campaign isn't just addressed toward the kids, it's addressed towards everybody in the community, because a lot of threats even come from adults. It's not just kids.
Right.
Adults make threats online. They make threats to politicians. They make threats to local government that we also investigate. It's not just kids doing it.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay, Chief, we've got just a moment or two left. Are you pleased with the mayor's proposals and his budget for new officers?
I am. The mayor has worked with us very closely over the last few years to increase our numbers. Next year, we should be able to add 20 new officers. Mm-hmm. This year, we were able to add 53.
Wow.
So having 20 new officers next year will be a great help. We currently have a class, academy class, and I think there's still 65 in the class that'll graduate and be out on the streets next year. And then next year, we plan on having two more classes, one in March, one in November. So adding 20 more officers will be great. I believe we've added 93 since he's since the mayor made that
the budgets and the
and commitment to the PD.
Is this getting the police department back up to before recession?
Actually, we're
numbers?
Higher. We're higher than we ever have been, even before the recession. Right now, I believe we're at 756. Our goal is to get to 803. And we should get there hopefully in 2021 with additional officers in 2021, depending on how the economy is doing next year.
Well, Colorado Springs is growing so fast,
say,
you have
growth.
To have the officers to take care
it
of the extra
population. It is
growing
fast. I think what people don't realize, though, is it's costly. We think about just the officer, but it's all the equipment, it's vehicles, it's every time we have pay raises for our employees, those we have to sustain throughout their careers. So it's expensive. I'm really thankful to the mayor and to council. The process isn't done yet. Council has to vote on the budget, which I'm assuming they will approve. But we're very thankful to all of them to continue our growth and allowing us to add the officers each year.
Yeah. All right, Chief, good to catch up here. Just looked at the clock. It's approaching 7:53. We've got a cold 7-day forecast on the way as KRDO's morning news continues.